Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to the Rosecast, AB. Just one more episode left before we never have to think of Nick Vial ever again.
Or do we?
Unless he comes on the show. Nick, if you're listening, we'll take you. We don't like you, but we'll take you. This is the Rosecast. I'm your host, Tim Kennedy. Alex, you're also a host. How you feeling? This long slog of a season just about over. What are your feelings before we get into the recap?
Starting to drain on me, Rim.
It's starting to wear on you, isn't it?
Starting to wear on me. This guy is starting to drain me down.
This week's episode was billed as a 3-hour Bachelor event. Now, raise your hand. Should I have known better? I thought that included a regular 2-hour episode, followed by a 1-hour Women Tell All episode, especially after last week's 1-hour regular episode. Yeah, there's no way they're going to give us a 1-hour episode with a 2-hour Women Tell All, but that's what they did, AB.
Listen, I should have known better. I wasn't thinking it through. Makes sense now.
Why does it make sense?
Because this was just last week's episode in the first hour of this episode was just one episode. And yeah. Then they had their normal Women Tell All. They got us. They got me. Going into the night, 2 hours regular episode, 1 hour Women Tell All. But
we're so stupid.
If I look back on past years, the Women Tell All is always 2 hours. So what was I thinking?
We're so stupid.
That's on me.
That's on you.
I got to be better than that.
It's not on me for thinking that. It's on
How do
you.
I keep falling for this?
I'm tired of getting duped by this family TV show. Well, the thing is, they can barely squeeze. This is just, of all the things on Nick's Bachelor resume, which is extensive now, this might be one of the biggest dings. They can barely squeeze an hour of content out of 3 fantasy suite dates with this guy. There's nothing to show. There's no conversation to recap. There's nothing going on when Nick's on camera. It's not good. Ever since Corinne left, the show's struggling to keep our attention.
That kind of always happens, though. There's always that one villain who draws the ratings, who is out of this world entertaining. And then when they're gone, it's kind of just, it's a lull. And this season, it happened way later in the season where you had that lull of the villain being gone. So yeah, I hear you. Corinne being gone is a shot.
Now, if you're a new listener and you're thinking, well, these guys don't even like The Bachelor, why am I listening to two guys who don't even like The Bachelor talk about this? This is a waste of my time. Let me stop you right the fuck in your tracks. All right? We love it. All right? We love the show. We love this last episode. We love the dumbass Women Tell All. We love it all. All right? Let's just make that clear. Crystal clear. Nobody loves this show more than Rim and AB, okay? Anyway, with that said, let's go back to Finland. That had to be said. That had to be. I don't want people thinking like, oh, these two guys just like make fun of The Bachelor. It's not the case. We love it. We analyze it. We also make fun of it. It's good. clear as day, all right? Had to be said. Let's go to Finland, AB.
Let's do it.
We open up with the morning after Raven's fantasy suite. Mm-hmm. I hope you took a shower before watching this episode, because this was gross. I don't know about what you got. Here, let me do a quick, I'm going to do this a lot this episode. Person A says one thing, Nick says another thing. Raven goes, last night meant a lot to me. Nick goes, that meant a lot to me. Gross, dude. Why do you have to say stuff like that? Nah, it was me who really liked it. Just relax.
The guy, there's just something about him. Like, the stuff he says isn't that bad. Like, if you just read the transcript of this episode, it would be like, okay, that made sense. But then, I don't know if it's his look or just his sleazeball voice or...
He doesn't open his mouth. He says it like he doesn't want the cameras to pick it up, which just gives it that vibe, like, ugh. What do you think about this little segment where Raven's kind of dancing around with, like, some Katy Perry in the background?
Too much.
Dancing around all of Finland, a little too much. I mean, it was one step removed from, like, the ending credits of 40-Year-Old Virgin. You know what I mean? You remember that scene? It was too much.
Too much.
I mean, I don't know. Who would have watched that and been like, this is funny, I like this? No one. No one thought that.
Well, Raven has kind of tried to take on the comic relief after Josephine and Alexis left. But
shout out to Alexis.
It's not hitting.
It's not and hitting. She can't do it.
I mean, I don't even really want to talk about what they were implying. I was put off by this episode, the start of this episode. Very put off. And you know what, Rim? A couple episodes ago, I said that my worst nightmare would be Nick coming home to meet me, bring home my daughter to meet me, you know?
Yeah.
No, it turns out fucking think about being Raven's dad for this episode.
Ugh.
That's actually my worst nightmare.
Just survive, just beat cancer, and he's got to sit and watch this, his girl frolic around.
Beat cancer for this shit? Listen, Rim, let's just say what they're implying, that Nick got the job done behind the scenes.
You almost said sheets. They played it up too much. That was my issue. It was like, we get it. You know, Rim and AB are a couple of guys who like the idea of the fantasy suites being a little more secretive, a little more under the table, a little more like say without saying it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is too overt. And it tarnishes the legacy, the proud legacy of Bachelor Fantasy Suite. And they turned it into a joke, AB, and it pissed me off, and I wasn't a fan of it. I feel like I took the words right out of your mouth there. You agree with that?
Yeah, 100% agree.
All right, let's go to Rachel, who I think out of these three would be our personal favorite, right? We like Rachel now. I'm souring on Vanessa a little bit. I know you've soured on Vanessa. And yeah. Raven has never really been one of our favorites, so.
Yeah, Rachel's our favorite, yeah.
I noticed this. Nick, I think Nick has an official go-to move when he's greeting someone that's coming up to him from far away.
What is it?
Usually off a helicopter or horseback. He raises both hands. I'll try to find the gif of him doing this, but he raises both hands and, like, waves them around like he's drowning. He goes, like just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, in unison. Like, this is bad radio right here, but
like wacky,
you know what I'm talking about.
Inflatable arm man?
Yeah, like a wacky inflatable arm flailing tube man. That's exactly what
gotcha.
Hey, I'm 36. All right. This date, not a lot of good dates on this episode. This day was some big time white people shit, AB. What did they do out here?
Bring
in
the black girl cross country skiing. Come on.
I mean, come on.
Come on, nigga.
We see right through it.
Listen, Rim. We don't fuck with skiing.
She said she never even heard of it. The concept.
We do not fuck with skiing, let alone some lame ass cross country skiing.
No, no.
And when I say we, I speak for all black people, and I mean that.
Yeah. AB speaks for black people, FYI, new listeners. If, in my eyes, if a black person's going to ski, they're going to do the exciting version of that. They're not going to do the walking skiing, which is all cross-country skiing is. after that date, if you want to call it that. It wasn't even a date. It was like 10, 15 minutes where they skied to this hut, and she fell on her ass a couple times. They got a little fire going in this hut. Seems like it would burn down real easily. Now, AB, I'm gonna reveal something here. We're both in Iowa.
Yeah.
Big time storms rolled through last night.
Okay? They did.
Big time storms.
Yes.
Tornado warnings.
Oh yeah.
Thunderstorm warnings.
Everything.
Folks outside of Iowa, this is bachelor season is tornado season, tornado warning season. And what happens when tornadoes roll around? The news breaks in and they make no apologies for you missing
the
Bachelor.
They don't give a fuck how long they're on, right in the middle of the most popular TV show on television right now.
I'm going to splice in the audio of what one of the meteorologists here in town was saying. He came with the period. He goes, I know we're trying to watch the Bachelor. He didn't say this, but he was basically like, I know everybody's trying to watch the Bachelor right now, but the safety of our viewers in the area is tantamount, period. And he was like, all right, whoa. Chill the fuck out.
These are moving into an environment that would be favorable for that. And I will say, if any of the TV9 viewing area goes under a tornado warning, we will do continuous coverage regardless of what our regular programming is, because the safety of our viewers, no matter where they are in eastern Iowa, is of the utmost importance to us, period. So,
listen, he knew everyone was cursing his ass up and down.
Yeah.
So he had a safe face.
I didn't like the attitude. There was a little bit of like he wanted there to be a tornado so he could come on and shame you for watching The Bachelor. I was like, all right, buddy, I don't need to be. I already feel bad enough about myself that I'm doing this. You don't need to make me feel even worse. So anyway, they broke in at this moment, so I miss a little bit of this.
Ah.
All I know is that they bonded a little bit over being scared about the future together. You got anything on this exchange in this soon-to-be-burned-down hut?
Yeah, a couple things, Rem. First of all, Nick brings out some hot tea. Now, this is interesting to me.
With whiskey? There was obviously whiskey.
Listen, Rem, this is interesting to me because it's the first time I've witnessed Nick drink a non-alcoholic beverage. Honest to God, never seen it.
You put whiskey in it. Well, I mean, what's your point? He put whiskey in it. Everyone knows he put whiskey in it.
Okay, Nick drank a spiked whiskey hot tea, and Rachel drank a regular one. While they're doing that, Rachel was expressing how she didn't feel comfortable saying I love you because she wasn't sure if he was going to reciprocate it to her. Nick then basically, I would say, forced her to say, like,
oh really,
basically forced her to say I love you to him, and then she did, and he said it back basically, Rim, in the non-committal way of I'm falling in love with you.
AB, rule number one about being the Bachelor, my personal rule that I'm making for all future Bachelors, never paint yourself into a corner, okay? You always got to have an escape route. So if you say that to Rachel, and then you send her home the next day, coming off looking like an asshole, don't paint yourself into a corner. Always have some leave yourself some wiggle room, okay? You're the Bachelor, my man.
He left himself a little bit by saying, I'm falling in love with you. See, there's a, in my eyes.
Where's the wriggle? What?
In my eyes, I don't know about you, but there's a big difference between I'm falling in love with you and I love you. Big difference.
Okay,
there.
You're right.
Big difference. I'm falling in love with you leaves you a little wiggle room. It makes it seem like you're not quite there yet. So he did leave himself a little bit.
One little thing I want to talk about in the hut before we go to the nighttime. Rachel says, you're rare and refreshing. And Nick, now I need you to explain. Can you please explain this to me? Because I don't know what this was about. All I know is that it made me uncomfortable. I didn't like it. Rachel says, you're rare and refreshing. And Nick says, oh, thank you. And then he leans in and he smiles and he goes, like he's about to kill the room at the Comedy Cellar. He goes, I might be white, but I'm still a minority. I don't even get it. I don't even get the joke. Do you know what he meant by that?
She said he was rare. He's saying he's like in the minority of people, basically, of all males.
That, I guess I didn't wrap my head around that because we both know that Nick is
he's in a minority
dude.
Of some of the biggest scumbags that have ever yeah. walked this earth.
He's a top one. He's a one percenter in terms of the scums. I don't know. It just didn't sit right with me. The spinning it into my, just listen. Race jokes are tough, folks. They're not. They're tough to make.
They're hit. They fall flat.
So, hey, how many have I made that fell flat that we have to cut from the show? Because you're just like, nah, Rim, that one fell flat. Sorry, bud. All right. What do you got on this nighttime? All I got is that the Fantasy Suite card comes out, and along with the fake-ass board game-ass key that comes with it.
Large, gigantic key.
Ridiculous key.
Rim, do you think any of these girls were going to not accept the Fantasy Suite? I expected someone not to accept it.
I thought that was definitely a possibility, given, you know, this guy's already done this on TV a bunch of other times. And I don't know. There was always the possibility for me that at different points during the season, we thought Rachel was going to decide to leave. And we also thought Vanessa was going to decide to leave. Those were the two girls who I thought would just choose to leave at various points during the season. So at this point, maybe Vanessa, I thought, would say no.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe Rachel would say no, because that would be an empowering-ass way to become the Bachelorette.
Yeah, it really would.
Ooh, that would have been good.
I wrote down halfway through this, through the nighttime date, that I thought she was going to win. He didn't say, I'm falling in love with you to any other of the girls. It stood out to me. They seemed like they had good chemistry, Rim.
Listen, they really do. They have the best
They had chemistry. The best chemistry out of all three of them. I don't understand. Anyways, moving on.
There's never been a moment where you're like, oh, Rachel and Nick aren't getting along.
They've always had the sparks. He's better with her, too.
Yeah, he's a better guy.
Like, best episodes of Nick where he's not such a big scumbag was New Orleans. Yep. And
they had that date in, like, Bemidji or wherever. They had that one-on-one just at the bar where it was just the daytime.
Yep.
That was a good time.
That was good, too. Mm-hmm.
He was pretty good with their family.
He was.
These two should have ended up together. That's period. Vanessa, daytime, third and final. Boy, I tell you what, I didn't realize that this was only going to be an hour episode until the hour was up.
This episode was shittier than the last episode.
I wouldn't go that far. Last episode was an insult to the Bachelor community. I'm saying, they were flying through these Fantasy Suite dates, like 13-minute segments. They had like the daytime, the nighttime, the Fantasy Suite, the morning after, in like 12 minutes. It was bananas. So Vanessa, daytime. Nick starts this one off with a description that is both corny and disgusting at the same time, in my opinion. You remember this?
No. What did he say?
He said, you didn't write this down? How could you not write this down? It was vintage Nick. He goes, well, our physical relationship has always been hot and steamy. Also, like, nobody asked. Like, you didn't need to tell us that. You shouldn't be talking about that. At this point, with three women left, that shouldn't be, like, your number one thing. Listen, me and her have always touched. But I don't know where we're going to live. What do you got on this weird-ass... I don't know. This date seemed to me like some kind of ancient torture. Are you going from super hot to super cold?
Why did Nick decide to have a fear factor date for the fucking
fear factor
for the fucking Fantasy Suites? I don't get it.
It seemed extremely unsafe.
They basically were doing the polar bear plunge repeatedly and worse.
It was like a worse because you add the sauna into it, so you go to like 180 degrees, and then you go to -60.
Can you believe they continued to do it? I thought that was a one-and-done thing, but they kept going back and forth.
Vanessa convinced herself that she enjoyed it. Nick didn't seem to... I didn't buy that, but Nick didn't seem to have any interest. I wouldn't have done it. Like, I would not have... I would have done this one time and then stayed in the sauna. You know? what? You start in the sauna, you go to the ice, and you go, oh, that was so fun, then you get back to the sauna. Why would you go back outside?
What's the point? How long do you think you could stay in that water?
Great question. Well, I'll be honest. I don't know how... I know water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know if that changes in other countries because of the metric system. I don't... So I don't know, like... Again, I'm going to just reiterate.
How cold that water is?
I don't know... I don't know. I know that water freeze. I'm coming off so fucking stupid right now. But I know that water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. But that water seemed colder than that. But it was still a liquid. So I don't know. I don't understand how that works. I looked at that water and I go, that water's minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. There's no way. There's no way that water is above zero. But at the same time, my brain is telling me no, it freezes, right? Water freezes water when it's 32.
That's water, and that shit freezes.
But you go back and look. They seem way colder than 32. It just seemed too, the whole thing seemed too cold to me. So I don't know. The answer is, I don't know. I wouldn't have got in. I don't go in a pool when it's like 66 degrees. It's too cold when it's that. So I wouldn't have gone in at all. I wouldn't have done this. My heart would have stopped. You don't understand how close I am to death at all times. My body type, my diet lately, you put me in a freezing cold thing of water, my blood pressure, my veins are liable to explode.
Back and forth is not good for the heart. Can't be.
No, I couldn't survive this date. All right. You want to go to the nighttime?
Well, the daytime's when... Are you talking about when they jump into that hot tub?
Yeah. Oh, that's when the real talk starts.
That's
I'm
the
sorry,
real talk,
right.
Yeah. That's just yep, still
let's
the
let's go to the real talk hot tub. Nick brings up the Montreal visit from last episode, which was an abject disaster. What do you got on this bizarre conversation about traditional values?
Everything Nick said made you realize he absolutely hated Vanessa's family. So,
Oh, yeah.
Big personalities in your family, huh? You only say that. You only say someone has a big personality if you do not like that personality. Otherwise, you don't bring it up. That's a fact.
That's a fact. Or if they do have a big personality and you like it, you say that you like them.
Yeah.
I like what they're about.
You don't say they have a big personality and that's how you explain them.
He says, your family is very traditional. And I'm not. Now, if you run the tape back, you could tell he'd been drinking. He's like, I'm just not. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I don't know. I'm just not traditional. They get to core values. Vanessa says, listen, these are the moments that Vanessa remembers she doesn't really actually like Nick. Like, she's having fun on this date, and then, you know, oh, shit, I forgot. Like, I can't stand being around him. She goes, my core values are things that I will not compromise on. The thing that she brings up is that Sunday lunch, a 3-hour lunch with everyone in her family. AB, I want to be on Vanessa's side here, but that's a deal breaker. Listen, I can't have a 3-hour lunch with your family every Sunday forever.
She completely lost me with that being that not being something that they can compromise on. That she completely, a 3-hour lunch every single Sunday, that sounds like pure hell.
And you know what's bullshit, AB? When are you going to do a 3-hour lunch with Nick's family?
Ever? Yeah.
How come he's got to go to your Italian-ass, French-ass, 3-hour Montreal brunch every Sunday forever, and you don't have to do shit with him?
Every week. This was the point where we realized that this is not going to work. And then for some reason...
I know what you're going to say. I have literally, for some reason, he says. For some reason, no one knows.
For some reason, he says, what if we are too similar?
AB, I have the same note. I have the same wording of the note.
What the fuck are you talking about? Number one, you are nothing alike each other.
AB, I got it. I dug a little deeper here.
Okay.
I know what he means.
What's he mean?
It's kind of unspoken, but he means, what if they're too similar in that they just both want to be on TV forever without having real jobs?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's the only thing I gleaned from that. Other than that, the question made no sense. What if we're too similar? What are you talking about? She's like hard-assed, get shit done, uncompromising, smart, caring about other people. Have I said something that Nick is yet?
No.
The answer is no. Okay. Nick's lazy, dumb, doesn't care about other people.
No. I don't think Nick outside of this is probably that bad of a guy. He seems like laid back guy. Seems like probably,
I think I like hanging out with him.
I was going to say probably a good time to hang out with, a good fun guy. But he's not like Vanessa. They're not alike.
No, Vanessa is like, once if you're out drinking with friends, Nick's the guy who at some point like either climbs over the bar or like finds his way behind the bar and starts making drinks. But the bartender's like cool with it because they built up a nice rapport with him.
Yep.
Vanessa is the type of person that's like, Nick, it's 10 o'clock and I have to get up and go to brunch tomorrow. And she makes you leave at 10 o'clock and you haven't even really revved it up yet. So that's what I'm, you know what I mean? They're just
really
different.
Revved it up yet.
Nick, that's the kind of thing you would say to you, like, Vanessa, I haven't even revved it up yet. Jeez. Nighttime, again, the fucking tornado warnings. So this is all secondhand information for me. I did see the part where Nick totally backtracked from the traditional comment from earlier. And he said, I love that your family's traditional.
No, you don't.
Blatant lie, sir. What do you got when Vanessa brings up the moving, where they're going to live thing?
This is, again, it did not go well. She brings up what are we going to do? Like, what's the plan after this? We're getting it. What is it, like tomorrow? It's like in 2 days we're going to probably be engaged. We should probably figure this out. Like, you can't be engaged to someone that neither of you are willing to move. They came away from it with Nick saying he just hasn't ever thought of living in Canada. And his reason is because he's a very proud American. And then she says, she revs it up. The thing about Vanessa, she goes to fucking 0 to 100 within fucking real quick rip.
She can go from smiling and fun Vanessa to like, actually
fuck
focus
you.
Focus up right now. Yeah. Actually, it's like this. Focus up.
She says, and I'm a proud Canadian. Good points. Okay, so we're at a total stalemate. This is where we go our separate ways as people. Neither, like, you don't live anywhere near each other. Neither of you are willing to move to the other's country. Not even you don't even live in the same country.
She lives in Montreal, and he's like, I won't even move to Vancouver because it's not in America, basically, even though they're like 5,000 miles apart.
Neither of them is going to consider moving.
And now, how did they get to that total stalemate? Because they didn't resolve the issue.
No, it's not resolved.
How did they get to that to fantasy suite? Bingo, bango, bongo. How'd they get there, AB? Did I miss that?
No. They kind of switched from that to Vanessa telling Nick she loved him.
Natural bridge.
Beats me. I don't know how this happened.
Speaking of tornadoes, that shit was a whirlwind. They went from, we can basically never be together, ever, to, I love you. I can't imagine living without you.
Said Nick is their other half.
You know, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it with Vanessa anymore.
Are you out on her?
I made excuses for so long. I told myself that she was genuine. I can't buy it anymore. I can't buy the act. It's an act now. She says, I've always imagined having someone like Nick in my life, and I just can't believe that someone A actually thinks that, and B thinks they're lucky to have stumbled upon this guy. That is not anything special. He's in the lower rung of guys. He's in the lower half. He's a good-looking guy. He's got nice abs. That's kind of where it stops.
I hear you.
I don't buy it. I'm out on Vanessa.
I just was very confused by this whole conversation and whole date. They resolved nothing. In fact, it got even worse and very clear that it's not going to work out. And then somehow they progressed to the next step of their relationship for some reason.
Crazy. They came out smelling like roses, AB, and I don't know how to explain it. Morning after, she is throwing around the I love yous like candy at a fucking St. Patrick's Day parade, AB. That shit is flying everywhere. She said to the camera, morning after I love you, morning after fantasy suite, mm-hmm. Probably within 3 business days of getting engaged, she says, still haven't figured out where we're going to call home, but I can't imagine life without him, or some nonsense. Oh, she said, Vanessa says it's the best, her relationship with Nick is the best relationship she's ever had. on this dating show, but he's dating other people at the same time.
They get caught up in the emotions, Rim. They get caught up.
Well, hot and steamy. You know how Nick and her have always had a little hot and steamy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase.
If you were to make a list of women on this show that Nick had super genuine connections with throughout the history, the whole season, rattle off as many as you can think of right now.
Raven, Rachel.
Maybe Christina.
Alexis. Like a friendship.
Okay. So maybe 2.5, 3. Yeah. Now, I want you to rattle off, I think you know where I'm going with this. I want you to rattle off girls that Nick had a really good physical connection with. All right. Corinne, Vanessa, Danielle. Rachel, Christina, Danielle L, Danielle M. Raven, Liz, folks. People forget about Liz. I mean, it's just easy. They fly off the tongue because he says that over and over to every girl or about every girl. And then, meanwhile, the probable winner, in my opinion, he hates her family and he doesn't want to move to Canada. Like, that's who's gonna win.
It's bad. It's only getting worse. I mean, we kind of have been joking about it for, you know, 6 weeks or so now about the season being bad and like Nick isn't going to find love, but now it's kind of coming down to it and Nick's not going to find love. That's pretty clear at this point. He's not moving to either of the places that he would need to move. They're not moving to him. He doesn't have anything anywhere. That's another thing to think about. Nick doesn't have a job. Where does he live? I don't even know where he lives anymore.
That's what's weird about the where we're going to live situation. It's always like, is Nick willing to move to X? It's never, is the girl willing to move to Z? Because
there is
Z doesn't exist. There is no Z.
Nick isn't tied down by anything right now. But I know for a fact he's not moving to Hoxie, Arkansas, and he's not moving to Canada. So what?
No, because he's not in it for love, baby. Just say it. Just say what you feel.
I think he is in it for love. I just think he's too dumb to find it.
Yeah, I hear you. It's like, you know, like when your dog gets really old and, you know, all these years you would throw the toy. This is a stretch. This analogy is a stretch. Just want to put that out there. You throw the toy and the dog races. No matter where the toy ends up, the dog always finds it. But then your dog gets old and then, you know, it's a little moving a little slower. Can't see as good. Can't smell as good. And you toss the toy just like 6 feet. And it's right there in the middle of the floor. The dog used to be able to get it on top of tables and underneath couches and all this shit. Or he'd go outside and go get sure. it. Now you're just like, all right, I'm going to put it like 2 arms lengths away. Like, go get it and bring it back. And he's like, where the fuck is the toy? You put the shit right in front of Nick's face and he doesn't even go get it. He doesn't understand where to find this love. He's like, Nick, look at all these toys we're giving you. Can you pick one and bring it back to me? And he can't do it.
I can't think of a better season of Girls. These girls were tremendous on this season. You're talking like 10 absolute sweethearts who have it together. And he couldn't find love. He didn't find anybody.
Christina.
Both Danielles. Vanessa.
Both Danielles.
Rachel. You had strong, independent, have it together, self-sufficient, great job.
Sarah Vendel guy as well. That remember her? That teacher?
Yeah. So
there's a couple other people in there too. There's a lot of girls in there, AB.
Tons.
And he couldn't. And he.
This is the best crop of girls, contestants that I can remember.
Sad.
No bad apples, really.
No. Even Corinne. But I came around on Corinne. I'm like, I could envision a life with Corinne. Okay. Let's go to the rose ceremony. Because that was like a 10-minute just Rim and AB riffing on just being disappointed.
Just disappointed in this season. And it's finally coming to an end. And we thought this was going to happen, but now it is happening.
It's sad to see. I'm worried about Nick's future. I mean, this is it for him. I know he's doing Dancing with the Stars, but this is like his life peak right here. He's going to marry some girl when he's 43. I mean, nothing wrong with that, but it's going to be a letdown from, oh, like everyone's going to be at the wedding. Like he was on The Bachelor and he couldn't even, you know, nail
something
down.
Couldn't make it work.
Okay. Rose ceremony. Rachel, shout out to Rachel. We're come with this absolute Cleopatra necklace dress situation.
I wrote down that was the, I don't need you Nick dress. Stunting with them jewels on for the haters.
I don't need you Nick.
I don't That's need good. You Nick dress.
Okay. So obviously Rachel didn't get the rose finally after a month of knowing that she was going to be the bachelorette. What do you think about this little post-rejection sit-down? Is that a normal thing they do?
I don't know what was going on there. Especially because Nick didn't have shit to say. They just sat there. And it was like, okay, she's like, I don't know what to say. Why are we sitting here first? Why can we just go? Like, you obviously aren't going to say anything, you dumbass.
That said, I think he handled it okay. He wishes he didn't have to do it. You know, he knows he has to do it, but he wishes he didn't have to. Classic good bachelor breakups is I'm always going to care about you. All that. Oh, you disagree.
I disagree. I need at least a little bit of explanation. Whether it be I had better connections with those other girls, he provided her with no explanation on why she's going home. And he even said, Rim, this may be selfish of me, but I hope I see you again or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's bad. Yeah.
What do you
that.
Mean? Like, are you hoping you're going to be friends? Are you hoping to spark up a relationship later? Because you said, hopefully this won't be goodbye forever. That's what he said.
It's like Shark Tank, Gabe. Ben Higgins was really good at coming up with reasons. Whether they were true or not, he had reasons.
Always gave
It's like
reasons.
Shark Tank. The sharks on Shark Tank never say I'm out without saying a reason. Yeah. Again, even if the reason is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be like, I'm out. You have to tell them something. Nick is basically just like, I'm out on all these random breakups. I'm out. Can you give me any explanation at all? I liked other girls better. Okay, that's not really good enough, but nice meeting you, scumbag.
I thought the hug at the end was pretty good, though. AB, you know, make fun of Nick for saying, I want to see you again, but that hug told me that she wanted that also. That hug right at the end of the car. They wanted to see each other again. And that's it. That's the episode. That was the episode.
Yeah. It was a short episode. I knew it was coming, Rim. The Rachel thing. It still hurt, Rim. Still hurt.
I will say that I'm just excited for her to be the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the women tell all was 2 hours, so I feel like we have to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
This is when the tornado for real came through, so the coverage went wall to wall. Okay, I didn't see much of the women tell all. So, being the proud Bachelor fan and proud host that I am, I watched it online just before we recorded, and I was taking notes. Thanks, but also, like, not where I expect my life to be at this point. Watching Women Tell All, Bachelor Women Tell All, and taking notes.
You're not a big fan of the tell-all shows, and I am. I enjoy them. I wrote that I've never seen anything like this on one of these. At one point, there was legit, like, 10 girls just screaming at each other, and like you said, Chris Harrison had to whistle to get everyone's attention, because the thing about it, too... And one of the parts I do enjoy about it is that I like to watch to see which of the girls who had no airtime during the season try to steal the Women Tell All show. Yeah. And there's always a couple girls that try to do that. Like, who the fuck are you? Number one, I don't even remember you. And they try to make it all about them.
Well, yeah, they thought they were going to be on camera more than they were. Then they watched the episodes and Elizabeth goes, I didn't say a word the whole season.
I didn't even get my shine.
She didn't get her shine. So she comes to the Women Tell All and she's got prepared lines ready to go and ready to unleash some lines that she thinks are going to catch fire about the Khaleesi or whatever she was talking about.
Yep.
They didn't hit, but she was ready. She was ready. Someone else too. Astrid and Whitney talked a lot and they didn't really get much shine either. Let's talk Taylor and Corinne, I guess. I mean, you can tell how excited I am to recap Taylor and Corinne for the 10th time. What do you got on this exchange? It was heated. It was extended, and it didn't come to a good resolution.
No, it surely didn't. I just thought Taylor somehow came off even worse than she did on the season. I don't like her. I don't like her. I don't like Taylor.
What's weird is they watch the clips, and Taylor seemed to understand that she came off pretty horribly during the season.
Yep.
So you would think, okay, she's going to like tone it down maybe a little bit, save some face here at the Women Tell All. No, she amped it up.
She was demanding an apology from Corinne after they showed the clips. It's like, what? Everyone is in disagreement with you here. And if anything,
no one defended
you deserve,
her.
You owe her an apology.
That was bold to demand an apology from someone after probably an hour of back and forth fighting to try and get an apology out of someone who you know is not going to apologize. So you're just, Corinne just goes, no, I'm not apologizing. Elizabeth actually had the best point of this whole scenario. I think it was Elizabeth. She said, first off, she dropped that she like, took a psychology class in high school or something. There was a moment there where like everyone was comparing degrees like classes. Very bizarre. She said, I majored in psychology. You're a mental health counselor. You should, instead of shaming someone who you think needs improvement in an area, you should be trying to help them. That was a totally fair point. That made the people in the audience go bananas.
Taylor also kind of alluded to that this is affecting her career, and she's blaming that on Corinne as well. I'm sorry. I wouldn't go to her, tell you that much.
There was like 3 times where Taylor was crying because of how much it ruined her life.
Yeah.
It's like, you were the mean one.
She's trying to act like the reason people don't go to her, what is she, a psychologist? What is she, psychologist or
mental health counselor? Counselor. Mental health counselor. Yeah.
Saying that the reason that people don't go to her is because of Corinne is nuts.
The clips and the discussions highlighted something I didn't really realize, and that's that Taylor treated Corinne that way, not because Corinne was rude to her or did anything specific to her. She just didn't like Corinne.
Yeah.
And observed things about Corinne and made judgments about her.
and just treated her poorly from there based on that. So Corinne had a point. You know, she did say mean things about women. When Corinne said, I've never said anything mean about anyone, that was a lie. But Taylor started it, and she deserved all the scorn that she was getting from Josephine and Lacey and the like.
She came off so poorly during the episode and during this, the women tell all. She came off poorly, and I didn't. I was Team Corinne then, and I'm still Team Corinne to this day.
Happy trails, Taylor. You're done. Let's go to, you want to talk about Liz real quick? I got some takes on this.
Yeah, let's see what you got.
The Liz thing, Chris gave her a chance to kind of explain herself, why she went on the show, why she didn't reach out to Nick, all that. Nothing she said made sense, in my opinion. There's still no reason why going on the show was a better option for her than reaching out to him beforehand. So that, I still don't buy that. That
no.
Deception was still there. But then it turned into this, like, feminist, like, rally. The switch flipped, and it became like, actually, girls can do whatever they want, and you own your body, and all this stuff. And it was very bizarre. I agreed with all the things. Maybe I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, actually, ladies, you should know your place in the kid. I'm not going to say that because it's not what I think. But that wasn't the point. I mean, you still were very deceptive and smug in being on the show, and there's no reason you should have been on, and I don't agree with your justification.
Someone was bringing up, like, that she goes to Somali or something.
Yeah, like, congrats for building huts.
I don't really
and
understand
stuff,
how that's
not
relevant
what we're talking about
here. We're talking no, about why she came on this show and her motives, and those are very unclear, and she cannot explain herself. So that's all there is to it.
Period.
How good a girl she is outside the show is not really relevant to this.
Congrats on doing the Tim Tebow missionary stuff, but it doesn't make why you're on this show any more valid.
Nope.
Okay. So if you thought that you're going to bring Remini B over to your side, you're going to get some Remini B sympathy.
Nope.
The answer is no. It's not going to happen. Speaking of feminist rallies, shout out to Christina, showing people what it truly means to be a strong woman in today's society, to
absolutely
come from nothing and make it something.
You know, this was the point in the episode I realized the only people doing the talking are the super catty girls. All the main girls that we liked basically weren't in the episode. Christina wasn't talking up until her time to actually go on stage. Neither Danielle were talking. Alexis wasn't talking.
Danielle M didn't say a word the whole episode.
None of the girls who we thought were the sweethearts and the good girls of the episode were doing the talking. It was all these catty girls just going back and forth about stuff.
That's true. Good observation. Okay, B, Nick comes out. Big, huge, everyone's all excited. I don't know. Not me. he sits down with Chris, and he says it's his first tell-all. Now,
true.
So what show was he on when he had that weird thing with Andy?
That's the After the Final Rose.
What's the difference? I mean, we're just splitting hairs here. You're still on like a post-show reunion situation.
It's different.
Well, Nick's out, the least electric man in show business, and he has to answer to these women, right, who are understandably confused about why they were sent home. Danielle L. asks him. Liz maybe asked him something. Shout out to our girl Kristen, who was like, hey, did you find love?
Kristen basically asked him a spoiler. And he looks at Chris Harrison like, what am I supposed to do? And Chris Harrison obviously steps in.
Well, here's the thing. Again, going back to Ben, I feel like someone asked Ben a similar question. And if you found love, you go, yes, I found love. You don't give a hint as to who it will be, but you say you found the love, right?
But the difference between this season is you knew Ben was going to find love. You don't know if Nick's going to find anything or if he's going to even pick someone.
But that's my thing. If for Nick, the answer was, yes, I found love, then he should have said that. But instead he looks at Chris like, shit, man, they're on to us.
Jig is up.
The jig is up, man. They know I didn't find love. I mean, listen, we've said it. The guy's not engaged right now, okay? Period. You didn't find love. I'd be surprised if anybody actually said yes to him.
Do you think next week when we're discussing the After the Final Rose, Nick was on that with the person he selected and they're still together.
If it's live, no.
I'm pretty sure
it was taped 3 weeks ago. If it was taped 3 weeks ago, maybe. He's not moving to Hoaxing. He's not moving to Montreal. He hates Vanessa's family. He's not with either of these girls. That's the bottom line. Anyway, what I wanted to say about Nick's time up on the stage there, I tried to keep my eyes open, but what he kept saying was basically that, like, yeah, you know, sorry, but I tried. They're like, okay, I respect that. Hey, Nick, I told you I loved you, and you said you wanted to be with me, and you wanted to marry me, and then you sent me home. He's like, yeah, well, listen, I get it. I was there too. And they're like, okay, I respect that. I mean, he's had months to think about explaining it to these women, and he seems caught off guard, and he still can't explain it.
There's no explanation for anything that he does, and we just got to remember that.
just remember that. Here's the thing. We approach this logically. We say, well, why would he pick A when he doesn't even know this or that about A, and he's got a better connection with B? AB, he sent a lot of girls home that he has a better connection with than maybe even Vanessa already. So we can't approach it with, like, what makes sense for him to do.
No.
In fact, we should do the opposite. The Jortzka stands opposite. So if you think he has a better connection with Raven and refuses to move to Canada, then I would, if I were you, I would bet that he picks Vanessa. Just because so far he hasn't done smart things. Very rarely has he made good decisions.
I'm with you.
Okay, I got a couple questions about the finale. We're not going to talk about Rachel. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Rachel for next season. You just know that we love Rachel. Big Rachel, guys.
Yep.
Have you ever looked forward to a finale less than this one?
No. It's very anticlimactic.
At least with Ben's season, there was that possibility. They made it seem like he changed his mind, or he sent a girl home and then brought her back. That was big stuff going on then. I will say that you and I, at some point in life, have to reconvene and live in the same city so that we can have a huge Bachelor watch party in hopes that maybe the Bachelorette will crash it like they do at the beginning of this one tell all. That would be fun. And how do those work, by the way? People are just having their regular parties and then, like, someone literally busts in their home and says, hey, it's me, the Bachelor, and then they freak out? Or
no,
I mean, how do you set that up? How do you apply for
that? I assume they apply for it and they all know beforehand. There's cameras in the place when they show up.
No, they don't know beforehand. That's a genuine surprise.
No, Rim.
No, the cameras are behind Rim, Chris and Nick.
Rim.
AB.
Don't
come
get
on.
Tricked by ABC once again. Rim.
Come on.
When they went in that sorority house in particular, I specifically noted immediately upon walking in, they switched camera angles to inside the place.
Okay, shit. Did they?
They know 100% that they're going there. Also,
the reaction was so genuine, though.
That was an ill Bachelor watching party, if we're talking about those. That sorority house, there was 150 girls in front of a tiny television watching this, and that's legitimate. That's what happens.
That place was fucking packed with 20-year-olds. Okay, anyway, we're done. That's it. Another disappointing episode. We're not going to hide it. Here's what you can expect from Rim and AB. We're not going to sugarcoat it. All right. We're not going to pretend like it was good when it wasn't. We're going to give it to you raw. We're going to give it to you straight. No chaser, just like Nick would like it. Okay. So don't watch the episode and think like, oh, I want to hear Rim and AB make, you know, chat about this and put a positive spin on it. We're not going to do it. If it stinks, it stinks. And if it's great, it's great. We'll tell you. In that sense, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We made it a little better and funnier to endure another bad episode. We only got one more left. Don't care if he finds love at all. Not invested in this guy whatsoever, but I'm glad you listened. Please share with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. Send us a review. We love reading the reviews. Like I've said before, I'm a conspiracy guy, and I'm pretty sure iTunes is holding us back. So we need to overcome their racism. I'll call it racism. They don't want to see us succeed.
Tell these people, these new listeners who enjoy the sound of Rim and AB, where they can find us once this season's over.
Well, okay, a couple things. I actually have some ideas, but there is...
if you visit the website 8screens.com, EIGHC, not the numeral 8 or the digit 8, you will find another podcast. It's us also with another dude, and we're talking about non-bachelor related things with just as much zeal and energy and spice that you find here. So if you're looking to fill the time between now and whenever Rachel blesses our living rooms with her beautiful smiley face on our TV screens, that's where you can find it. But, AB, I have an idea for what happens to the Rosecast during the off season.
What do you got?
Do you want to recap Juan Pablo's season? Not episode by episode. Maybe just one recording session after I binge the whole season. Something like that. Something to keep wet the palate in between current seasons of Bachelor. We'll do something. So we don't want to lose these lovely people.
I like that idea.
And folks, if you have some ideas, and if it's do Bachelor in Paradise, don't even bother tweeting us, because I don't want to hear that. All right? I'm not trying to watch Bachelor
in Paradise. The good thing, Rim, is there, I assume her season will be before the next Bachelor in Paradise. I think it'll be in May.
In any case, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Da-na-na. Run the music. Da-na-na. 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 Da-na-na.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.